So as we gather here tonight to celebrate on Christmas Eve, I have to ask you this question. Why are you here? Why have you come to this place tonight, this late hour, the dark, it's cold outside? Why have you come here tonight? And I think the answer to that question for all of us is that we hope that there is something more to Christmas than the presents that we're going to find under the tree tomorrow. Every one of us has a deep longing for that. And I mean, it's exciting to see what's inside those wrapped presents. It's exciting to dig down in that stocking. But it all points to something greater than that, something bigger. And we know that. That's why you've come out here tonight. That's why you've braved the dark and the cold. Because there is something greater than those presents under the tree. So every year on Christmas Eve, we come here at this late time to do this and to say, what is it? What are our hearts yearning for? And when I thought about that, I thought about my very early Christmases, and I actually bought a picture. I'm going to put a picture up there of one of my very early Christmases. That's 1966. That's at my grandparents' farm in West Virginia. And up until I was about 17, I guess, every one of my Christmases involved that farmhouse and that tree and that group of girls to my left. The last one on the left there, the whole way over on the left, that's my sister with the hair. And then there's Tara and Becky and Steffi. I had all girl cousins. And if you notice in that picture, all the girls are holding a doll. They're showing their best present. And I got a gun. I had to defend myself. Hey, that's what you got in 1966, okay? You got a toy gun for Christmas. And you know, I look at that picture and I think about being 3 years old in that picture, and I can guarantee you, for me, Christmas was all about those presents under the tree. It was all about Santa Claus and Frosty and the reindeer. It was all about all of those things. But I have to tell you that as I've grown year by year, you know, 53 years later, I find myself here. I have a deeper yearning and a deeper longing every year for that true meaning of Christmas. What really is it all about? And I'm feeling that you're here tonight feeling the same way. What is it? So briefly tonight, I want to talk to you about the meaning of the Christmas story, but we're going to look at it from the Gospel of John. Now, from the Gospel of John, we usually hear that a little later in the service, and we're going to do that as we prepare to light our candles. But tonight, I wanted to bring it to you because John talks about the real meaning of Christmas. In Luke and Matthew, we have the shepherds and the angels, and we have the star, and we have the wise men coming. We have all those wonderful things. But in John, he does not tell the Christmas story that way. Here's what John says. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Now, this description of Christmas is just full of meaning. It is so pregnant with meaning, and we can't even begin to think about everything that we find in there, but we're just going to have a really small sampling tonight. John says that Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all people, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. What does he mean for Jesus to be the light for us? Well, that means a lot of things. We hear Jesus' name Emmanuel in other places. Matthew uses it as he quotes Isaiah, Emmanuel, God with us. That means that God is with us. God won't abandon us. Everywhere we are, God is. We don't have to be afraid. That light of God is always there with us. Then we hear the name that Joseph is to give the baby when the angel speaks to him. A baby shall be born and you shall call him Jesus. Or Yesu in Greek, Yeshua in Hebrew. It means God saves. God delivers. Not only do we not have to be afraid and we're not going to be abandoned, but we will be delivered. Now, whatever tapes are playing in your head when I say the words God saved, you might go back to the 70s and the 80s and you hear those people saying, are you saved? That's not what I'm talking about here. Yes, God does save us from sins, and that is why Jesus was born, but We're delivered from other things. We have to think about the light and the dark in our lives. We have to think about the struggles between light and darkness in our world and in our lives. The darkness in our lives can be despair or depression. It can be sometimes it's a loneliness or emptiness. It could be fear. And the light comes to deliver us from those things. And we all know what that struggle is. Sometimes we struggle with darkness in our lives. Darkness, the temptation to do the things that we know we're not supposed to do, and sometimes we end up not doing the things that we are supposed to be doing. And sometimes the darkness has its way with us. We all struggle with that. There's no one here that can say, I don't struggle with that. At some point in all of our lives, we struggle with that. And as the light of people that delivers us, God took the initiative to send his son Jesus to save the world. He sent him to us, even though we weren't even asking for it, to light up a different way, to suffer for us, to pay a price that we would have paid otherwise. Why? Because God delivers. God doesn't abandon us, and he loves us. And that's all part of the Christmas gift. Listen, God is the God of second chances. As stupid as the things are that we do sometimes, as embarrassed as you might be of all the things that you've done, God knows all about it and he loves you anyway. That's the kind of God we have. God knows all about that stuff. And that's the light that we find in Jesus. That's the light that dispels the darkness. And that changes everything. And part of what that points to in our lives, there's moments in our lives, you know, that we feel that the darkness has won. There's moments in our lives when we say there's no way that the light can come back. You know, there's some here have been looking for jobs for a long time. And they get to that place where there's, I'm just never going to get hired again. I've had so many interviews. It's never going to happen again. There's people here who are struggling in their marriage. And they say, am I ever going to feel that love again? Are we ever going to again have what we used to have? There's people here that are dealing with illness. And they say, am I ever going to feel okay again? And there's people who are depressed, and they say, will I ever experience joy? Or is that part over? And here's the thing. The darkness cannot overcome the light. And in the end, it's true, not only in Jesus' birth, but in his death and resurrection. We hear the story all over again, being put in the tomb. It was all turned around when the light shone once again on that third day. So through Jesus, whether it's his birth or his resurrection, we experience that. And that points to Christmas and the fact that there is always hope. No matter what your situation is, the darkness cannot overcome the light. And you know, it's really hard for us as people to get our arms around this. God who's always there, this God who loves us that much. There's this God who just saves us and delivers us. We can't get our arms around it, you know? And there's signs about that all around us. You know, this past Sunday I talked about Christmas really being a love story, and it's a love story about a God who has such extravagant love for human beings. He made the whole cosmos, but then he took this wee little planet in it, and he put people on it in his own image, and he loved them, and he called them his children. You know, it's amazing. We can't get our arms around that kind of love. But we see signs of it. We experience it in different places in our lives. When you feel that unconditional love from a human being, I feel that unconditional love from my kids sometimes. Sorry, guys. I feel that unconditional love from my wife. But you know, I really feel that unconditional love from the family dog, Lily. Lily knows the sound of my car before I even pull in the driveway. You know, she hears my door. Before I can even turn the engine off, she's outside my door, tail wagging, head bobbing, bouncing up and down. She does not care if I did gave a bad sermon that day or if I failed at the office. She does not care. She's just ready to love because that's her nature, unconditional love. And she won't stop until I get down and spend some time with her on her level and play with her. That's just the way she is. Even dogs can be a picture of God's grace. I came across a wonderful video, and I showed it this past week to the congregation. I've never gotten such a response to a video. I received so many emails and so many people coming up to me, where'd you get that? I got to see that. I got to see it again. And then they said, can we see it again on Christmas Eve? That was, I'm bringing my family and I want them to see it. So I said I would play it here again tonight. So I'm going to play it again tonight for you and see what you think. See what you think.
I look up and I see God. I look down and see my dog. Simple spelling, G-O-D. Same word backwards, D-O-G. They would stay with me all day. I'm the one who walks away. But both of them just wait for me and dance at my return with glee. Both love me no matter what, divine God and canine mutt. I take it hard each time I fail, but God forgives, dog wags his tail. God thought up and made the dog. Dog reflects a part of God. I've seen love from both sides now. It's everywhere. Amen. Bow wow. I look up and I see God. I look down and see my dog. In my human frailty, I can't match their love for me.
Do you understand? That God loves you that much? I love that one line in there. I'm the one who walks away. And God is always there, ready to take me back. It's like the story of the prodigal son, the father who's there with his arms open. Why? Because he loves us that much. And these are just a few of the gifts of Christmas. Will you unwrap them? Will you share them? And here's one thing that I want you to know about the gifts of Christmas. You know, the manger where the Word became flesh, where the light pierce the darkness is not just about God's gifts for you. The manger comes with a mission. There's a response that's required. Jesus said to his disciples, you know, after they had seen the light in him and they experienced the love of God, he said to them, listen, your mission is this. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Jesus passed that light on. And we receive that light of Christ in our lives, and once we have the light, we're to take it to others. We incarnate his love, his grace, his mercy, his presence for other people. There may be other people out there that may never experience the light of Christmas except for you. And the light you shine to others that you reflect from God, what does that look like? I see it all the time. There's people here in this church family who take a week of vacation in the summertime, but instead of going to the beach, they pay to go to Oklahoma, to American Indian Territory, or to urban Pittsburgh, or they go to Costa Rica, and they do construction work. And to those people in those places, what God's love looks like to them are construction workers coming from another place. I know there's people who are in this church who, through Interfaith Hospitality Network, go over to Central Baptist, and they'll spend a night with some of the homeless people from Norristown. They'll cook their meal and spend the night, babysit their kids, play with them. To those homeless people who are bouncing around to different churches, God's love to them looks like strangers who come and spend time and try to create relationship. And these are just a few examples. I know that there's a United Methodist Church in Liberia, Africa, who this year, through Christmas Challenge, will get wood to make chairs for their 105 children in the school who are now sitting on the floor. God's love to them looks like some church on the other side of the planet who is crazy enough to send the gift of wood 14,000 miles. You see how this works? Now, these are just a few examples of how God's love is delivered through the flesh of those people, through you, who have known the love of Jesus. Christmas is a mission of God for you. Now, I'm pretty sure when I was in that picture when I was 3 years old that we saw just a few minutes ago, I didn't understand any of this. I certainly didn't. But the longer I live, the more I yearn for that understanding. And I know that there's more to Christmas than what's underneath that tree. And here's what my invitation is for you. Now, I know this is Candlelight Christmas Eve, and I know there's some of you that come here, and you come here every year, and I'm so glad you're here. And for some of you, this is the only time you come to church, and I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming. But I recognize there are some that sit there and go, come on, Tom. Shepherds and wise men, you know, following a star, you know, really? And I want to answer this question. What if it's true? What if it's really true? What if there is a God who knows your name? What if there is a God who loves you this much? How does that change your life? And what if there is true that there's a God who's always with you and you're never alone? What would that mean? And what if it was true that he came to save you from yourself and your sin and all those other things, and he's the God of second chances, and he's standing there with his arms wide open? What if it's true and there's always hope? And you know what we hear from John's gospel is, it's true. It's true. So my invitation to you here tonight is just to simply believe it. Would you pray with me?